Sometimes we can be walking in the promises of God and things start getting tough. Opposition, battles. Hey, what's going on? Is it time to give up? What happened to all of God's promises? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again this week on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series called It's Time to Take the Promised Land. So let's head into God's Word and look, stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional, Fresh, to help you live out each and every day of your life in the promises of God. Well, over these last weeks on the program, we've been looking at the fact that it's time to take the promised land. God makes so many promises of peace and of joy and his protection and forgiveness and eternal life. The list goes on and on. And you know, you and I can come up with so many excuses in our lives as to why those promises couldn't possibly ever be for us. It's true, we do. In a sense, those excuses are completely natural and understandable. There's a young woman who wrote recently in response to a program. I want to share with you what she wrote, because it's a kind of a road that we all travel sometimes. This is what she said. For a while now, I've been getting negative thoughts and saying negative things. I know that the devil's doing it, not God, but it won't stop. I want so much to do God's will and to walk in his ways. Am I going mad? Will this wreck my relationship with God? I so much want to do his will for his glory and not mine. I want to be a serving and faithful servant for him. I have all these problems. I say bad and negative things. I can say things without thinking. I tell lies and other unchristian things. What does it mean for me? Is it going to ruin my relationship with God? See, this young woman is struggling with the realities of life. She wants to live in that promised land, but somehow she just can't see how it's for her. She just can't seem to get there. We all struggle with these things. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with our failings. Will this wreck everything with God? We go over that over and over and over again. So listen to me. It is time to take the promised land. Over the last 3 weeks on the program, we've been looking at Israel. God promised to Abraham, the father of Israel, this land of the Canaanites, the promised land. And centuries later, centuries after Israel had grown into a large and mighty nation in slavery in Egypt, God brought Moses. And through a series of miracles, he brought the nation of Israel, his chosen people, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years as God purified them. And then one day, under the leadership of Joshua, because Moses had just died, they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River and finally ready to cross into the promised land. And what they discover is that there's already a whole bunch of people living there. The Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all those other little Vegemites were already there. And even though this was God's promised land, it wasn't going to be delivered to them on a platter like a pizza. They had to go out and take it. They were on a war footing. They had to fight battle after battle, beginning with Jericho. They went through a lot of battles to take the promised land. You know something? It's the same with you and with me and with that young woman. We live on a spiritual battlefield. That is the reality of life. And the moment we step out and we believe in Jesus, the moment we step out and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you in your promises, we step onto that spiritual battlefield. John Eldridge, in his book Waking the Dead, makes this powerful statement. He says, things are not what they seem. This is a world at war. And then he goes on to explain what he means. He writes this, the world in which we live is a combat zone. A violent clash of kingdoms, a bitter struggle unto the death. You were born into a world at war, and you will live all your days in the midst of a great battle, involving all the forces of heaven and hell and played out here on earth, until we come to terms with that war as the context of our days, we simply will not understand life. See, this is why over the last few weeks we've been working our way through this series in the book of Joshua called It's Time to Take the Promised Land, because the context is war. The devil is not going to hand us God's promises on a silver platter. In fact, he is going to try to rob us of God's promises at every turn. And we'd like to think that, particularly those of us who live in the affluent West, that being a Christian means living in the blessings of God and having a comfortable life and having plenty of money and taking it easy. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but life is not like that, especially when we step onto the spiritual battlefield by giving our lives to Jesus Christ. The moment we do that, all the forces of hell are unleashed against us. That's the reality. We shouldn't be surprised. I think that the surprise element is what makes it worse. We have these expectations of an easy and comfortable life. And when Satan unleashes all his devils against us, temptation and doubt and failure and opposition and trials and on and on and on, over and over and over, we start thinking, wow, there must be something wrong with me. Au contraire. Inevitably, when we decide to take hold of the promises of God in our lives, there will be a battle involved. Don't be surprised by this. It's in the Bible. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, put it like this. One of the things that surprised me when I first read the New Testament seriously was that it talked so much about a dark power in the universe, a mighty evil spirit who was held to be the power behind death and disease and sin. This universe, writes Lewis, is at war. Wake up! The world is at war. The context of our lives following after Jesus Christ is a spiritual battlefield. Israel was promised this land through Abraham centuries before they even got there. You think when God made that beautiful promise to Abraham that he expected battles and wars and stuff? Listen again just briefly to this beautiful promise to an old man. This impossible promise in Genesis chapter 15. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. He said, "Don't be afraid. I'm your shield and your very great reward." But Abraham said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will become my heir." And then the word of the Lord came to Abraham. "This man will not be your heir, but a son who comes from your own body will be your heir." And God took Abraham outside of the tent and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then he said, "So shall your offspring be." And Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. And God also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abraham said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer and a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." And Abraham did that. He brought all those things and cut them in two and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. And then the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. And as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." And when the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, the smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the river of the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." This was a serious promise. Who would ever have expected that it would involve battle after battle after battle? I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you lay hold of the promises of God in your life. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. Now let's get back into God's Word and see what He has to say to you and me about heading into the Promised Land, about taking the Promised Land, because just like the Israelites, if we're going to take a hold of God's promises, that's a battle-by-battle proposition. So often, the Promised Land is not handed to us on a silver platter. So let's go from that promise of God to Abraham centuries before into the midst of the taking of the Promised Land. Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, has crossed over. They've fought battle after battle. They've taken Jericho, and city after city has fallen before them. Why? Because that's what God promised. And we're going to pick up the story in Joshua chapter 18. They're not quite halfway through taking this promised land. There are 12 tribes in Israel. 5 tribes have their land, and 7 are left to go. 7 have yet to get their promised land. And it must have seemed like an eternity. You know, when you face battle after battle, we're tempted to pull over and stop, to take a breather that kind of turns into a lunch break, that turns into a holiday, that turns into long service leave, and before you know it, we haven't got what it takes to keep going again. I tell you, in my life, in this ministry, Christianity Works, I've been involved now for just on 3 years, and the call on my heart as I took over to start producing radio programs again, we weren't on any stations 3 years ago, and today we're on over 700 stations in 80 countries around the world. And I have to tell you, it was hard work, battle after battle after battle. Sometimes there were not enough funds, and people said they'd help, but then they realized how hard it was to do this work, and they just didn't deliver, and they fell by the wayside, and people criticized, and people didn't understand, and you know what I'm talking about, and you get tired, and you get exhausted. It would have been so easy just to pull up, to slow down, to give up. What a temptation. And yet there was this promise of God in my heart that He called me to do this. But we're all tempted to give up halfway. You know, the only reason I haven't is because along the way I had some great teaching on this subject from a wonderful teacher called Joyce Meyer. And there was just one message, and God wrote this stuff on my heart to keep going. And that's my prayer for you today. Just this one message, these few moments we spend together, that He will write His word on your heart to keep on pressing forward into the promises of God. Whether we're struggling with fear or sin or an addiction or a tough relationship, and we hear about God's promises, and so we set out on that journey of faith, but after a while, oh, it's hard work, and there's opposition, and there are battles, and we want to give up. You know what I mean. In fact, my hunch is you know exactly what I mean. And it was the same with Israel. They were almost halfway into taking the promised land. If you've got a Bible, open it up. Let's listen to Joshua chapter 18. The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up there the tent of the meeting. The country was subdued before them, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So Joshua said to the Israelites, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Appoint 3 men from each tribe. I will send them out to make a survey of the land, to write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. Then you will return to me. You are to divide the land into 7 parts. Judah is to remain in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph in its territory on the north. After you have written the descriptions of the 7 parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord. The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them. As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, "Go and make a survey of the land, write a description of it, then return to me and I will cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord." So the men left. They went through the land. They wrote its description on a scroll, town by town, in seven parts, and returned to Joshua in the camp of Shiloh. Joshua then cast lots for them in Shiloh in the presence of the Lord, and there he distributed the land to the Israelites according to their tribal divisions. I love this passage because they're almost halfway through, and it begins by saying the whole land, the whole country, was subdued before them. See, so much of the work had already been done. God had done so many things. They were so far down the track. And sometimes when we're tired of the battle after battle, we lose sight of how far we've come. We look back, and then we see the mighty hand of God at work in the victories. Isn't it the same in our lives? You get tired and think, "Oh, Lord, this is too hard." It's time just to take a quick look back and see all the mighty things that God has done in our lives. I get such great courage from just looking back, even over these last 3 years in the ministry of Christianity Works, and I think, man, look at what God has done. And once they've looked back, Joshua asks the $64 million question. Joshua said to the Israelites, "How long will you wait before you take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has already given you? How long will you wait?" So you're almost halfway there. You take a breather, you pull over, you stop, you get set in your ways, you can't go any further, you lose heart. What are you people doing? How long will you wait? What came next? There was work to be done. They sent the men out, they looked forward, they divided up the land into seven portions. See, God always involves us in what's going on. He never lets us become spiritual couch potatoes. He sent three men from each tribe out to survey the land, to record the land, and to choose the seven divisions. And next, they came back to Joshua, and in the presence of the Lord, Joshua cast lots. Really, what Joshua was saying there is, we're going to leave this up to God. We've got some work to do, but God is in charge. We're going to cast lots for this land between the seven tribes in front of God, and we will let God choose, through the lots, who gets what land. See, there's a message for us here. If we're a people that's pressing forward into the promises of God, don't stop. Don't pull over. Don't give up. If it's a tough relationship that you've been praying over, and the Lord's been leading you to do good things, to serve and to support, to humble yourself, and you're tired and you want to take a breather and you think, it's just not going to happen. You get to thinking, this isn't working, it's not going anywhere, it's time to give up. Or God's called you to something, a ministry or a job or whatever it is. And somehow as you look back, you can see all the good things he's done. But the promises seem like such a long way off. Whatever the situation, how long will you hang around here before you take the land that God has already given to you? Come on, get up. And do the things you know that you have to do. Do them under God. And what? Do you think God's going to fail you? Do you think God's just leading you up the garden path? Do you think that God put you up the creek in a barbed wire canoe without a paddle? Are his promises faithful? Are they worth following? Are they worth it? I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. God makes some powerful promises in his word, the Bible, promises that he means for you and me to live in. Problem is, so many people who believe in Jesus struggle to lay hold of his promises, especially, let me say, on those dark days that we all seem to travel through. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called It's Time to Take the Promised Land. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually live in the promises of God day by day. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you apply God's promises right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Well, are the promises of God real? In a sense, in theory, we can all answer, sure. I mean, if God is God and he makes a promise, it has to be real. But you know something? The theory and the reality can be two different things. I shared a little before about the battles over the last 3 years that I've travelled through in taking this ministry from, I guess, pretty much nothing to reaching millions of people each week. Now, I don't want any of that to seem remarkable because it's nothing that we did. God opened door after door and performed miracle after miracle to do that. And it's what God's called me to do. He's called you to something different. So let's not compare. As I share my story, hear what God's saying to you today about your story. Now, I'm someone who knows the theory of God's promises as well as anyone. I mean, a big part of my job is to study God's word, to put together these programs. So I'm in the theory, if you like, all the time. But the reality has been that it's been lots of hard work and there have been disappointments and setbacks. And one of the hardest things has been often the people closest to us, people in our own church who haven't understood what we do or supported us or encouraged us. So many times the finances look critical. It's still something that happens now. And I find myself thinking, why is it that the people in our own church don't even support us? Or one station where we've had a huge audience for a number of years was talking about taking our program off air, and we've had to pray and pray and pray and then finally see God's victory. And sometimes I think, God, why can't it be easier than this? God, why does it have to be so many battles along the way? And you know what God's answer has been to me? So that you, my child, would discover my faithfulness for yourself. God wants us to experience his faithfulness, not in theory, but in practice. And you know something? I know so much more today about the faithfulness of God than I ever have, simply by travelling through battle after battle and seeing the victories that God has brought along the way. And there is such an intense satisfaction as I look back on that, and I can truly say, yes, Lord, it's been hard work, but all the glory goes to you and not to me, because I could never have done this. The book of Joshua that we've been travelling through these last weeks is about Israel's battles on the journey of taking the promised land. And when finally all the land is taken and allocated to all the tribes, have a listen to what God's word says. If you've got a Bible, open it at Joshua chapter 21, beginning at verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Wow. Let's just let that sink in for a minute. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. When God makes a promise, he never ever fails to deliver. When Jesus promised that he came, that we would have life in all of its abundance, that is a promise of God. It is a promise he intends to keep in your life and in mine. And as we travel through battle after battle and hang close to him, and just let those promises of God glow in our hearts and we hang on to them. Through this spiritual battlefield where the devil comes after you with a meat cleaver and you fail some days and you stumble and you remember Jesus on that cross. You remember that he purchased that life for you. We can know in our hearts that now it's time to take the promised land. And not one of all the Lord's good promises to you or to me will fail. Every one of them will be fulfilled. It is time to take the promised land. That's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching that's available on our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw ever closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works television broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching you need for what you're going through today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, It's Time to Take the Promised Land, and the fresh daily e-devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life, to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.